Aloha, folks. This is not a recording, unfortunately. And I am Hesh. I'm still alive. I'm doing a radio show today. It's number 427. And I humbly apologize, but the last 3 weeks were a total nightmare. And down the road, maybe I can explain that. But I'm really sorry for those of you who like to hear what I talk about. I humbly apologize. I want to put some stuff into perspective. I know I've been talking about it for years, and I've repeated it thousands of times, but it's too important. Eating a muscle is a very, very health-destroying habit. And right now, because I said that, you're probably saying, no, I don't eat muscles. Well, the word muscle is a euphemism for the word flesh or for anything that had a face or a mother. So the problem is when you eat meat or flesh, seriously, you're eating the dead carcasses of dead cattle, dead pigs, dead hogs, dead sheep, dead lambs, dead chickens, dead turkeys, dead fish, and every other creature that has been murdered so it could be put on your plate. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think when a creature knows they're going to be killed, their fear hormones proliferate their bodies? And that being the case, why don't you have any problem eating and absorbing that? The cows, for example, are vegetarian by nature, yet they're fed the ground-up remains of the dead, dying, decaying, and diseased cows that are unfit to be killed so you can eat them. Not only that, but they're fed GMOs, growth hormones, antibiotics, and other contaminated grains that are unfit for human consumption. They're also injected with carbon monoxide to extend their shelf life, their perfect, beautiful red shelf life, up to 3 weeks without stinking. The fish are polluted with mercury, toxic wastes that make their way to the ocean, radiation, fluoride, PCBs, and oil spill pollutants. And the poultry is okay to sell, according to the Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Department of A-holes, as long as you can't see the doo-doo through the clear wrap. So that being the case, can I give you a little bit more yummy information about eating flesh? Meat is full of toxic chemicals and decaying cell nuclei. It contains poisons from the dead animal cell tissue, biological waste, and byproducts. The meat of dead animal carcasses is full of pesticides from their food sources and is passed on to you when you eat them. The blood in the muscles of dead carcasses that you eat is clogged with toxic poisons, animal wastes, and impurities. Pesticide poison residue, percentage-wise, is the highest in dead meat, dead poultry, and dead fish, and is loaded with poison, unhealthy additives, and sickening chemicals. Meat becomes putrefied filth in the human body and should be outlawed for human consumption. Eating dead poultry is a health hazard. Why? Because most dead poultry meat is loaded with the chemical stilbestrol, which can cause cysts, tumors, cancers, fibroids, excessive menstrual pain and bleeding, as well as impotency and sterility. Now, maybe if you visited a slaughterhouse and could at least handle the smell, that might provide an incentive to stop consuming it. But most of the meat producers perpetuate deliberate fraud on the American people by selling their hormone-induced fat for high protein and chemically doctored, putrefying, filthy, putrid, overripe black meats so that the stink of the dead carcasses can be deodorized and then the meat is colored so it appears fresh and pleasing. So understand that the nature of a dead body is to rot and to stink. So how come when you go to the market to buy flesh, it's all rosy red and you don't get bowled over by the horrific stench? The meats, the meat products cannot be completely digested because of this, your kidneys and other eliminative organs get overworked, which allows uric acid deposits to settle in the body tissues and the joints, which causes chronic disease. Your middle and lower digestive tracts, when elongated, measures around 30 feet. So, since you cannot chew the muscle, so it blends with the saliva, like what happens with plant-based foods, you swallow it. What does it do? It sits in your body for between 4 and 7 days before you can finally crap it out. So where do you think all those poisons and all those pollutants go? So by replacing flesh protein in your diet with protein from plant sources, you reduce toxin levels in your body, reduce illness, sickness, and disease, and can live a longer, healthier, and happier life. If you think that flesh is the richest source of protein, dream on. Plants rank much higher in quality and quantity than they provide more than twice the amount of vitamins and minerals than flesh foods do. A high protein diet of flesh usually causes a decided increase in your appetite, adding unwanted excess weight, and is also responsible for damaging poisonous residues settling in the tissues. On top of that, excessive protein in the diet from the flesh sources causes constipation, over-acidity, body poisoning, reduced strength, which brings about arthritis, heart trouble, kidney malfunction, and the list goes on and on and on. And except for vitamin B12, a person can receive all vital nutrients from vegetables and fruits. For example, for vitamin B12, nutritional yeast flakes, fresh bee pollen, and the organic sulfur crystals fulfill that. So a plant-based diet including peas and beans and lentils and nuts and seeds and whole grains, will provide you with all the food nutrients essential to vibrant health. The good, clean, highest form of protein that we should be eating is fed to livestock. Then we wind up eating the poisoned, colored, chemicalized, harmonized, putrid, rotting flesh of the dead carcasses. And yet people wonder why they still become ill and sick and diseased. Muscles are used to build your bodily strength. If it works for you and it works for animals, why do you eat it? I mean, that position has been complicated in order for certain corporations to make a lot of money. That's why you only see that advertised on television. You never see anything about plant-based foods. And the other question I want to put to you, do you have an animal-based digestive tract? So in the animals, the digestive tract is a straight line from the stomach out the butt. If you would look at the digestive tract in a human being, you would see a very, very convoluted digestive tract, like going around a big circle, driving around circles. So how can flesh foods simply pass? Plant-based foods stay in there for 3 days. Flesh foods, the stuff, the vegetables, the fruits, the grains, 3 days. Yet the animal foods sit there from 4 to 7 days, and people wonder why they get sick. Let me put another thing in perspective. The American medical profession, which is made up of the doctor, hospital, big pharma, commercial industrial complex, is the biggest pusher of poison chemical drugs in the world. Roughly 90% of American medical doctors are poisoners and murderers, and certainly not healers. Millions of Americans become ill, suffer, and die from the deadly adverse reactions of these poison chemical drugs, and they're all subjected to the saying of what is favored, in God we trust, all others pay cash. So Hippocrates, the father of medicine, said, leave thy drugs in the chemist's pots if thou cannot heal the patient with food. So every cell in the body is dependent upon the bloodstream for life. If the blood is burdened with poison chemical drugs, every cell in the body is affected, and eventually the drugs become part of the tissues. But some people fool themselves into believing that their bodily disturbance is cured when they no longer feel pain. Well, that makes sense, right? But when a bodily disturbance is suppressed by drugs, the cause will manifest elsewhere in the body. Why? There's no cure in any drug. It's only adding additional poisoning. So understand, drugs serve only to suppress disease and raise it to a more serious condition. So why can't a doctor realize that the how to live healthfully process is more important than the how to get rid of pain process? The poison chemical drug adverse reactions are so devastating that the side effects are worse than the bodily disturbance that the drugs were prescribed for in the first place. The medical profession is dependent solely on prescribing poison chemical drugs for its very survival. And without those prescription drugs fostered by Big Pharma, there is very little reason for the existence of the American medical community except for those in the emergency centers. Because every cell in the body is dependent upon the bloodstream for life, it's important that it be free as possible from poisonous substances. If the blood is saturated with drugs, every cell in the body will be affected, as the drugs will eventually become part of the tissues and in time will wreak havoc to an organ or organs. Some drugs are used to paralyze nerves so that the pain is not felt. Some are used as antiseptics, others as diuretics, and drugs are also used for their effects upon so many other effects. Now, a lot of people can be fooled into believing that their disease has been cured when they don't feel pain or develop a fever, but pain and fever are our best friends in most cases. Some people think that their stomach ache has been cured. But what if the ache has only been suppressed by the drugs and winds up somewhere else in the body? The important thing to know is that there is no cure in any drug, only a suppression. The cure comes when new cells have taken place of the old, and no drug belongs in any cells which are to become part of the new body. So basically, drugs only serve to suppress disease and will push it back into the tissues. The wrong that's committed upon us is that the drugs are used to suppress the simplest eliminative processes through which the body rids itself of waste. When these conditions are suppressed, they can develop into chronic disease. So it's my feeling that the average person wants to live correctly and will if they knew how. The problem is some people are not ready to live correctly, and they think that furthering the crime by living on coffee, donuts, soda, hot dogs, dairy, eggs, processed foods, and anything that had a face or a mother will take away their pains and allow them to continue on a way of life that will eventually lead to ulcers, rheumatism, arthritis, cancer, and who knows how much else. So the business of selling aspirins and now GMOs to the max, the alkalizers, the bromides, has been thrust upon the ignorance of people who are fostering a more diseased state of affairs. The objective of the doctor oriented in natural therapies is directly opposite to the doctors that emphasize the importance of whatever germ life is associated with disease. So the natural cure doctor is not afraid of bacteria. To him, the frantic attempts to kill bacteria at all costs seem to be approaching the problem from the wrong direction. He knows that these minute universal scavengers are everywhere, but he doesn't freak out over 30 million bacteria counts on the arms or 750 on a postage stamp. He considers it natural for bacteria to be present in degenerative tissue because it's their function to be active there. He knows the good news. They have no detrimental effect upon healthy tissue. So drugs do what they're claimed to do. They get rid of pains, they suppress disease, but they do not cure. The drugs also do not help the body replace old tissue or cleanse it. Inorganic drugs taken into the system are not absorbed. If they can't be eliminated through natural channels, they will settle in the tissues and the organs of the body and will remain there unless living habits and proper treatments enable the body to eliminate those foreign substances and toxins. So a doctor should not poison a person with a poison chemical drug just because the person has a problem. If a doctor does not know how to do good, he should certainly stop from doing evil. So don't you think that drug medication, no matter in what disguise or under what name it's practiced in, consists in employing as remedies for diseases those things which produce diseases in perfectly well persons? So the question is, why does medical science continue to look for a miracle drug when the human body is the greatest miracle on the planet and can heal itself? Poison does not equate to wellness. So to get a grip on why a plant-based diet is powerful medicine, you'll need to understand that plant foods are the most abundant sources of nutrition on the planet. The nutrients are the raw materials your body needs to function properly, and there's two classes. One, the ones the body makes by itself, and two, the ones it can only be derived from the food that you eat, also known as essential nutrients. So of the 13 essential vitamins, 11 are made in abundance by plants. Two that are not produced by plants are vitamin D and vitamin B12, and both are stored in your tissues for long periods of time. So you can get plenty of vitamin D from the sun and B12 from bee pollen and organic sulfur crystals, which enables the body to create it, which has been evidenced already in the University of Southampton in Great Britain. So when it comes to providing immune boosting and cancer fighting nutrients, there's no comparison between plant-based foods and dead, rotting animal foods. With antioxidants being essential for good health, animal foods are low or devoid of them, while plant-based foods are rich in them and provide a huge variety of vitamins, minerals, and many other health-building nutrients. The scientists have finally discovered that the plant foods contain powerful phytochemicals which can protect us from cancer, heart disease, and many other serious illnesses. Not only that, but when it comes to mineral sources, the plants are the primary source. Why? Because the minerals come from the earth, they make their way into the food supply through the plants, and the only reason the animals have any minerals within them is because they eat plants. So, in our intestines, we need dietary fiber that will bind with fat, cholesterol, environmental pollutants, and disease-causing hormones to eliminate this crapola from our bodies. Not only that, but the fiber promotes healthy bowel elimination also known as frequent doo-doo and no constipation. So I always hear arguments about calcium sources because those that argue have no clue as to the fact that the plant-based foods are rich in calcium. So the reason why the meatheads lose calcium is because they eat eggs. One egg contains so much protein to develop the baby chicken that the excess protein needs to be neutralized with calcium, and the only way it can get calcium to do that is to take it from the bones, and people wonder why they get arthritis or osteoporosis. Sometimes protein is greatly misunderstood because the plants contain protein and all the essential amino acids to build it. So all the protein a person needs comes easily from plant foods. But since Americans get 6 to 10 times more protein than they need from eating dead animals, that excess protein overworks the liver and the kidneys, causing them to become enlarged and injured, causing the bones to weaken and kidney stones to form. So what the scientists also found was that the animal proteins are damaging to the body because of a lot of their amino acids contain sulfur, which is not related to sulfur, and is way more toxic to the liver and kidneys than veggie proteins. So when you reduce your protein content via a plant-based diet, the kidneys become stronger and heal. The carbohydrates are our primary source of energy because they provide energy for the red blood cells, the cells of the kidneys, and are the preferred fuel for our central nervous system, including the brain. The fat, on the other hand, is a secondary source of energy for the muscles, but is usually stored in the body for use in times of fasting. So we're designed by nature to crave carbs. Why? Because their sweet flavor, energy, and nutrition regulates our hunger drive. Red meat, dead chickens and turkeys, dead fish, the menstrual cycle of the chicken, otherwise known as eggs, and liquid fat, otherwise known as dairy, have little or 2% or no carbs at all. So on an animal food diet, feeling satisfied after eating is rare and results in overeating, resulting in becoming a fat overeater. The bottom line is, if not eating enough carbs, you will stay hungry and put on pounds. So the unprocessed plant foods, like the organic quinoa, the bulgur, the buckwheat, the brown rice, potatoes, squash, broccoli, cauliflower, apples, which is just the tip of the iceberg, are loaded with complex carbohydrates, which are the long chains of sugar that must be broken down inside your intestine before they can be used as fuel. Their process of digestion is slow and methodical and provides a steady stream of fuel pumped into your bloodstream as long-lasting energy. So, what can be better than a diet that provides you with all the nutrients you need for optimum health and a high level of vitality and endurance? So let me give you one last thing to think about, okay? High calories of flesh and high calories of fat creates causing of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. High saturated fat will cause heart attacks and stroke. Essential fat deficiency will bring about degenerative diseases and multiple sclerosis. High protein and high acid will result in osteoporosis, kidney damage, and stones in the body. High cholesterol and high iron will bring on atherosclerosis, strokes, and heart attacks. Something with no dietary fiber will cause constipation, hemorrhoids, and irritable bowel syndrome. No carbohydrates will give you fatigue and poor endurance. No vitamin C and no calcium will give you poor tissue healing and bring about scurvy. Environmental contaminants will give you cancer, Parkinson's, and brain damage. The carcinogens from cooking create cancer. The multiple microbe infections will bring about infectious disease like E. coli and mad cow disease. And then the last good news is the cost to humans with deforestation, destruction of natural resources, pollution, the inhumane treatment of animals, both when they're alive and when slaughtered, and it's expensive for everyone with dramatic increases in food and medical bills. All that being said, maybe it's now time for your intelligence to override your tongue. So one of the questions that is always in my mind when I was growing up is there any food in our food? So what if you thought that your salads were giving you lots of nutrients and your fruit was rewarding your body with vitamins and you drank lots of water all the time? Wouldn't you assume that you're fairly healthy? I mean, you could be eating dead food that sounds healthy and heading for a health nightmare you can't see coming, because some of the worst disorders and diseases don't show up until it's late in the game and you're way behind. So you could get a head start on the whole thing if you just knew more about dead food, dead soil, and genetically modified organisms. You could turn the tables and stay out in front of this genetically modified food war, and you could stop eating food that isn't really food and doesn't contain any nutritional value whatsoever. So allow me to break it down into bare basics, because it's not that complicated. So I'm going to start with dead soil. Dead soil is earth that's been drained of nutrients thanks to the onslaught of pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides over time. The synthetic lab-concocted toxins that the biotech industry is dishing out are extreme and are killing the soil literally all across the United States. If there are no nutrients in the soil, there are none in the food, and that is a scientific fact. GMOs. Genetically modified foods are exactly that. They are gene altered. It says not to do it in the Bible, and any sane person's brain tells them it's a really bad idea. But the highly profitable mafia food industry makes it sound useful and beneficial and convinces the masses that it's necessary for the future of food. These concepts could not be any further from the truth. People are consuming the genes of insects, foreign bacteria and viruses, mixed with bacteria that kill good bacteria in your intestines. High fructose corn syrup, which is shown as HFCS, is pesticide syrup. And some of the research says you could actually be creating pesticide in your gut because you have the chemical composition to do so if you consume GMOs. So you might want to give that some thought. And then there's the cooked food. So even if there's any nutrients left at all in conventional food that comes from the dead soil and has been mixed with genes or other living things and packaged with preservatives and additives and frozen, canned, jarred, or whatever, even if there is any nutritional value left, it usually gets baked, fried, broiled, grilled, or toasted, and that ends it. Most cooked food is dead food once it's heated above 118 degrees Fahrenheit, although there are some exceptions like broccoli. So steaming, flash freezing, or dehydrating food properly will allow them to retain their valuable nutrients. So, how do you fix the problem? By knowing what you're choosing before you ever set foot in another store. People think it's overwhelming, but all they have to do is filter their information and siphon out all the myths at once. That's what the history of hidden medicine can do, and then you're ready for organic, because you have to be ready mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to change over completely, or you may fall back to processed staple diets and all natural, that they say, and you'll have to know the history of how things got to be the way they are in America regarding toxic medicine and the toxic food. There was a pattern which you should learn. And once you learn it, you can move forward with confidence and conviction. After the true history of hidden medicine, food, and politics, then you learn which companies are used to be organic and used to have ethics, but have sold out to the big corporations known as Big Food or biotech. When they say it's not about the money, it's always about the money. Big food is a conglomeration of processed foods, even those posing as healthy. Biotech is just a fancy word for lab food and food containing pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, and insecticides. And finally, you know which organic is really organic and can filter out the kind that contains heavy metals or is imported from, believe it or not, China. So welcome to the basement of basics, where food actually contains food and nutrition means you won't have to get vaccines, flu shots, or synthetic head and chest medicine for the colds, because you will have natural immunity. So basically, it's welcoming the door to open to the world of real food called organic food, and to welcome to your healthy life. It's something that you really need to think about. But we are living in the world of land, meat, fish, meat, cheese, and bread. You walk into a place and they say, "Oh, which bread would you like, sir? Which bread would you like, ma'am? Our signature pesticide toasted whole wheat is our extra gluten irritable bowel system bread with high fructose corn syrup swells. Did you want extra calf stomach with your cheese spread? How about the animal? Did you choose which hormone-infected animal you wanted from the pen out back? We know how to chop them up fresh here." at the one and only mad cow disease. Nobody wants to grow up to be fat, diabetic, or dependent on chemical meds to prolong their life, but it happens right and left in America. So you come in, you sit down, you dine in just about anywhere, and the menu offers up about 20 to 30 meal choices, including appetizers and desserts. The first two pages on the menu offer choice after choice after choice of fried everything and breaded goodies, even fried veggies for you health fanatics. The next 4 to 8 pages contain sandwiches, burgers, pizzas, steaks, chili and burritos, and just about every single item besides salads, which are usually topped with meat anyway, contains genetically modified meat, genetically modified cheese, and gluten-loaded bread to help it all stick to your insides. Genetically modified food at restaurants are served up to anyone who doesn't know any better. And that's about 80 to 90% of people who eat out regularly. I mean, we're talking about even the expensive top-notch restaurants that serve their GMOs. It's actually a struggle to order non-GMOs and get non-GMO food on your plate, because even when you're on the lookout and you know the food criminals, the restaurants will still sneak it in or make mistakes or are just sloppy as they prep your food. The meat checks show up all the time in vegetarian dishes, including soups with chicken stock, rennet and 99% of cheese used in restaurants, and gelatin byproducts, especially at the food bar. Then there's the single worst culprit of bad health in America, the canola oil in nearly every salad and salad dressing. So your choices when eating are severely limited if you're trying to filter out toxic food and drink. But welcome to the land of meat, cheese, and bread. And they say, may I take your order? Would you care for the all-in-one you can eat superfood bar at the vegan nightmare potluck dinner special? So they serve meat. Overcooking meats, especially red meat, due to the formation of carbon-based amines, greatly increases the risk of digestive cancers over many years of consumption. Consuming grilled, well-done, and barbecued meat accumulates carcinogens. Growth and sex hormones in beef can cause genital abnormalities in boys and early onset of puberty in girls. Then we're going to talk about cheese and milk. In an effort to get more children to drink processed milk, the conventional dairy industry is pushing the U.S. FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, to change the very definition of milk to allow for the discreet addition of toxic artificial sweeteners like aspartame. Where do you think your cheese will come from and what it'll contain? You're probably right. The number one central nervous disruptor, aspartame. And that additive is responsible for 75% of the adverse side effects to the FDA every year for the past 10 years. Then you got hormones. So the BST, the recumbent bovine somatotropin, also known as recumbent bovine growth hormone, RBGH, is an artificially synthesized version of the growth hormone that normally occurs in cows. The synthetic hormone's use is not permitted in the European Union. Monsanto's version of the recumbent the genetically engineered E. coli bacteria, and then they say GMOs are a good thing. That hormone causes cows to become seriously ill with various diseases, including mastitis, an infection of the udder that ultimately contaminates the milk with pus. Commonly branded as Pusilac, the recumbent bovine stuff, an infection of the udder unnaturally increases milk production at the expenses of the cow's health, and the repercussions of which are passed on to the consumer. Bread. That word got out about gluten giving humans major digestive tract problems, among other things lurking in your future like cancer. But did the word get out about bread in general and the gluten-free scams that are products containing some of the worst, most dangerous GMOs on the planet? You might want to check it out. So many gluten-free foods still contain MSG, aspartame, sorbitol, sucralose, maltodextrin, GMO corn sugar, and other genetically modified additives that pollute and clog up the digestive tract and cause the central nervous system disorders and ailments. The buck doesn't stop with the term gluten-free. In nearly every bun, every roll, cracker, breadstick, croissant, bagel, English muffin, sub roll, and Kaiser roll is loaded with bleached flour, enriched flour, which is isolated toxins, processed flour, pesticides, insecticides, herbicides, additives, preservatives, which are cell chokers, and artificial colors. And then the wheat or the whole grain bread is usually cooked with the artificial chemical Formel for that grainy look that you become accustomed to, thinking it's healthier. It's choice by choice between 4-methyllimidazone and bleach. I mean, what else is on sale? So the bread basket appetizer and those sweet rolls are probably loaded with high fructose corn syrup, which contains pesticide. So anyone wondering why they leave restaurants feeling so bloated and suffer irritable bowels later need to look no further than genetically modified breads, hormone-laden meats, and artery and digestive tract clogging cheese. So if you're eating GMO cornmeal, gluten, you might be, you might not be. Isn't that a biological pesticide? Where 99% of corn gluten meal products can be sold without going through the EPA's registration process? They should call the food bars the pest bars. So the so-called RDA food groups and food guide pyramids are established, and they've been here for decades in America. They are the chem groups of food agents. They should add in artificial sweeteners as the fifth group. So make sure that you have some Obamacare chronic care coverage, OCCC, so you can get some pharmaceuticals to worsen the conception while the gluten rots. So ensure that you have selected your physicians on your OCCC plan in your network so you can take advantage of the GMO chemo and radiation specials coming to a 24/7 cancer clinic and the doc in the box is near you. What better way to coagulate your blood and self-inflict heart disease than by ignoring the research about GMOs and pesticide-laden gluten? What better way to mutate your cells than to eat bug killers and weed killers and gulp down the canola oil at the food bars? On top of that, the International Food Information Council becomes your nutrition and food safety resource, providing healthful eating information for many people who like research sponsored and funded by the usual suspects of PepsiCo, Red Bull, Monsanto, McDonald's, GM, and of course, Cargill. You talk about the wrong people teaching you about what to eat? I got a great book report for you to work on this weekend. And then you have the national healthcare scam, where Obama is actually more costly for the chronically ill. And you thought it was another way around, that young, healthy people will be forced by the IRS to foot the bill. You got to have been thinking Obama meant what he said when he said, when are you going to leave that circus tent? And when I mentioned Obamacare, you guys are all saying, oh, he's not, oh my God, he used to be president. He's not going to be president anymore. If he's not going to be president anymore, why does he want his wife to run for president? Seriously, that's what's coming up. She has been claimed as a runner in the next presidential election. You think his wife is capable of being a president of the United States? No. No, it just makes her husband the guy to come in and bring in the bucks. Folks, we're living in a really weird world. We're living in a world where nobody really cares about us. The only thing they really care about is what we spend our money on for foods that we eat. If we buy foods to eat that help us, then the pharmaceutical industry, the medical profession, they're all going to have problems. That's why you never see ads for plant-based foods in the newspaper, on the television. You never hear about organics. All you do is see the vegetables that are garbage, the flesh foods that are garbage, that will take your life away from you, cause you to be sick. We're living in a very sick world. Nobody wants you to hear the truth. They will minimize printing articles like that or putting them into companies that not many people would want to go to read. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of naturalnews.com. That is one company where that guy is speaking many, many truths. And it's, you can go online, you can go in, you can subscribe, and you don't have to pay anything. I mean, it's a really sick world. It's really a really sick world. And now, store-bought foods that are processed have the worst ingredients hidden in their formula, because this was brought about by a new agreement between Tyson Foods and Protex, which is an insect ingredient company. I'll talk about that next week. I'll let you know what's... This stuff is coming, man. It's only about people who want to make money. The only way they're going to make money is for you to be sick. The only way for you to be sick, for them to make money, is for you not to hear about anything else like whatever I talked about tonight. And how many, you think the whole world is going to listen to this show? No. Maybe a few people. I don't know, but that's the problem. Sickness brings in the bucks. Think about it. You get sick, you go to the doctor. You go to the doctor, he prescribes a drug. You take the drug, you get sick. You get sick, he gives you another drug. You see what's happening here? Anyway, time's running out. I think I gotta go. I know the ending theme song is gonna come up. So I'm glad I'm back. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll catch you guys all next week. Aloha.